Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome to Positive Partners.
Bo.
It is a dog training program, sort of a, maybe a gentle way of dog training.
Non-pain related.
Right.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Okay.
The path to progress generally is not through pain.
Right. You got to have your dog
trust. Plenty of that in the world without adding a whole lot more.
Okay. Today... it's probably a very important show. It's about bites and dog biting. And I don't know if you say how to train it or
but
it,
who,
it would
where,
more from,
when, why, how, what to do kind of thing. We won't cover everything. And
right.
Then we'll have some notes at the beginning here. So if you're watching this on YouTube and we'll just talk over this, you can go back and catch each slide for any particular information.
Contact information.
I'm Dr. Heiskell, Tom Heiskell, and I was a clinical psychologist and I'm trained to work with animals. Well, we'll be talking about who gets bitten, where that happens, when it happens. We'll also cover the cost of dog bites and so forth. I don't think that is running as a slideshow. It needs to
Did you press
hit play?
Play,
yeah. There we go. Good. All right. Okay, so we're on our way there. The cost, talk about breeds, and some people say, well, some breeds are problems, and there's been breed-specific legislation, and how has that worked out? Generally, you have to go by the individual dog rather than the breed, and that's what various really... objective organizations like the American Medical Veterinary Association said.
Owners of breeds who have an aggressive reputation.
Yeah, there are some owners of who pick dogs with
the reputation. So
yeah,
that, you know, you see my dog and you'll be impressed.
Okay. Yeah, I think we is that running as these slides should just be like 5 seconds each. Oh, no, go ahead and just let them roll, sure, yeah. Okay, we're great. And then we will get into reasons for biting, and they are varied across the board there.
Why they bite?
Mm-hmm.
Lots of different reasons.
Lots of different reasons. And the fact that because a dog is bitten in one situation doesn't mean that it's going to have a problem in another situation. It's very, very specific to a situation.
Right.
And that dog. And then we'll get into what to do. Let's say if you're getting a puppy, how do you start them out? What steps do you go through? And then what if you're picking up a dog from a shelter? And how to select them. And a word of mention here, and we'll cover this next time, is muzzling and body handling and nail trimming.
Right.
So if you can teach a dog to wear a muzzle and they don't care, and if your dog has some has bitten people before or you have that worry, you can put a muzzle on a dog. Your dog won't care. You can take them places, and then people will actually, a muzzled dog is the safest dog in the whole place, and yet people will give them distance, you know, so you'll automatically get people.
I bite it.
Yeah, because you'll automatically get people holding back there, so you won't have to worry about people being rude or disrespectful or coming into your dog's space without asking you, you know. So it works both ways, and really muzzles have a bad, have an undeserved reputation and should be used a lot more. Okay, all right.
Yeah, one of mine was had a bite history, which is why it was in rescue, and it had trust issues,
mm-hmm.
and had had owners that I'm not sure what had happened because I didn't have any contact, not that much contact with them. They did contact me later, but you know, of course,
yeah.
everything was great as far as they thought, but. From their training, you know, their advice that they'd been given, which I'm not sure was the greatest advice in the world, he had trust issues with people in general. You know,
mm-hmm.
a lot of times it was with guys or women or children or something. They'll target a certain thing,
mm-hmm.
but this dog just didn't.
This dog had been sprayed with water in the face, and what else had
drugged
happened?
And muzzled, and I don't know what the situation was.
Some physical punishment and so forth probably went along with it.
Yeah, and when you muzzled him, he probably was fighting, and it was a confrontation or something.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're going to muzzle the dog, then you keep him in a safe situation rather than saying, hey, look, I'm going to put you in danger and then keep you from having any of your defenses, then you've made the dog more anxious. So
right.
when you have a muzzle on them, you keep them in situations where they are safe. You don't take them around aggressive dogs or places where they're trapped and scared
mm-hmm.
and all that. And you did everything you could possibly do for that dog. And you mentioned that dog, when a dog growls or shows stress signals,
yeah,
rather than
certain signals that they put out before they actually attack or bite. And you have to learn some of these and go onto YouTube and look up some of these things. You know, dogs generally don't want to bite unless they've been trained to be fighters.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they'll growl, you know, their ears will be backwards or
yeah, it goes on a progression, right? Yeah, and by the time they're doing that, they're pretty worked up. So the first thing they might do is they'll look away or they will be more alert. Their ears will be forward.
And don't look at that dog that's looking away, and that's a confrontation.
Yeah.
To a
yeah.
dog.
A dog's trying to avoid the situation there. Don't try to stare him down.
Right.
You know, let him back up. And
then the one thing that my dog would do is he would, for 1 second, be still. The tail would stop.
Yeah. And
he'd freeze, and then
yeah. That's what precedes that. If you see a freeze, you have one hot second to avoid a bite.
Right.
If you see a freeze, calm down, give a little space, back up, don't push into the dog, give the dog a little space there because the next thing that's going to happen is a bite.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we'll get into the whys and so forth. Let's talk a little bit about who gets bitten, how often. About 4.5 million Americans are bitten by dogs every year, usually by dogs that are familiar. These are family dogs, dogs that are in the neighborhood. About 800,000 people seek medical care for a bite, and that's about one out of every five bites.
And you do get medical care, when you go to the hospital, then the hospital is obligated to report it.
Right.
And then your dog is under observation.
For rabies, right. They're
like 10 days.
For the first concern they have is making sure that someone's not been infected with rabies. So you have
right.
to keep your dog out of the public. You have to have the dog monitored and so forth, and you have to take the dog in to the vet and make sure that they're healthy. Half of those who are bitten are children between the ages 5 and 9. Often these are boys. So about the time you're feeling like, oh, the child's old enough, they've been around, they can just all play in the yard together and all that sort of stuff, that may be fine for your dog and your child.
Yeah,
they
I
know
mean,
how to get to, along with one another.
I heard a story about a person who went and got a shelter dog and brought it home, and then it's like, hey, kids, here's the new doggie. I'm going to the store.
Yeah.
And that didn't end well.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Just get the dice out and roll them and hope you are are you feeling lucky today?
And don't blame the dog.
I mean, you have to actually see what's going to go. You actually see how this dog, we'll get into how do you check that out to begin with. And bites of children are usually more severe and often facial because of their size. And even if your dog gets along just fine with your kids, If they have, if they're neighborhood kids coming over and they're all running around playing, you don't know if that other neighborhood child or some new friend is going to be appropriate with that dog. So
right.
do the dog a favor and give the dog, let the children play where they're playing and give the dog a safe place to be away from all that.
Yeah, Oliver, one of my guys now, is very friendly.
Mm-hmm.
But during a Halloween, everybody wanted to pet the dog. The only
mm-hmm.
kids came up. And he wasn't scared of the masks or any of that stuff. But two people were fine, three people were fine. Now I got four kids in my face,
right.
and he just gave this grrr,
yeah.
low
Please
growl.
Everybody
like,
back up.
Give me some space.
Yeah, yeah. And you, when he gives a growl like that, be thankful. The dog is telling
right.
you, you know, hey, look, I need my room here. The dog's not trying to be mean, disrespectful, or anything like that. The dog is being crowded. So if you punish growling, then what you end up with is a dog who stops growling, and then what you have is no growl, then no warnings, and then you've really got a problem.
Right.
So if the dog's growling, figure out what's going on, separate out. If you've overstressed the dog, then avoid that in the future.
Right.
It's like if someone tells the doctor, you know, hey, it hurts when I do this, that, or the other, and the doctor says, I've got some advice for you, and, you know, just don't do that.
Right.
So don't let the dog get swamped by five children. Senior citizens are the second most common dog bite victims. So,
I've read where the dog breed that bites the most is the dachshund.
Yeah, I've heard that too. And some of the smaller breeds are
right.
are
I just wonder
can
if
be
the,
nippy and
if
that
the
kind
senior
of stuff.
Citizens being bitten is because they do have small dogs.
Yeah,
and know. They treat them
yeah.
like babies and not like the canines that they are.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You do want to give your dog leadership and guidance and education about what is okay behavior and what's not. So if they're putting teeth on skin, then the playing stops, the petting stops, you go down on the floor, you know, stay there for 20 seconds. Now let's try this again. Oops, that wasn't right. You're down on the floor. Enjoy your time alone for a little while here.
Right.
And then they learn that. Dogs explore with their mouths. Dog bites can be expensive, and the average cost when a dog bite gets to the insurance company for homeowners liability can be over $30,000. So adds up. But if you think about a bad bite where a dog has not had bite inhibition is the dog biting only so hard and then backing up. And dogs who haven't learned to do that, or who are biting in a very aggressive, meaning to harm,
There's a nip. And
yeah.
then
their air snaps.
Yeah. And then there's the other extreme where they grab and then shake.
Right. And that's at the extreme. That's the actual intending to cause physical
damage. I want
to rip
your arm off.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah. And past a certain point, you know, if a dog nips, that's probably a behavior that you can turn the corner on.
Mm-hmm.
If a dog sinks its teeth in, sinks three or four teeth in, you know, to a depth of a half an inch or so, you know, that's pretty aggressive behavior. And at that point, the time for do-it-yourself is past. You really want to be talking to an animal behaviorist, like
mm-hmm.
at the Ohio State University program. Megan Heron is the animal behaviorist there, and she's one of the few in the state. There's another one in Columbus, and there's somebody out down in Kentucky as well. If you're talking with a dog trainer, you want them to be extremely familiar with treating aggression, and you want someone to treat aggression by knowing how to assess it and knowing how to manage it. The first priority is management. This isn't a problem once a dog has become a practiced biter. This isn't a problem that is cured. It is managed and moderated, but once a dog has that behavior, they know that behavior, and that behavior is always in the deck. It is
mm-hmm.
always a possibility. We talk about breeds, and there are breeds that people say, oh, this breed is a really bad breed, don't get it, they're bred to fight and so forth. Now, what we do know is large breeds cause more dangerous fights, obviously, because they have bigger jaws, stronger jaws.
Right. That's unfair, because I think more big dogs get put down for biting, because they do the damage. And the,
right.
I'm a big dog owner.
Right.
I just don't like it.
Yeah.
You know, the little guys get away with so much,
yeah.
But my guy would bite one, and that's done.
Yeah.
He's done.
And for our dogs, it's up to us to work with them and teach them how to interact with human beings, without biting.
And it's a good thing for people to teach their children and other people how to interact with their dogs.
Definitely.
You know, teach your children. Don't think a dog is not going to bite.
They're not
ever.
Yeah, they're,
you know,
they're not
the
stuffed
kids,
toys. They have feelings.
Right. The kids are pulling on their legs,
yeah.
And their ears, and
yeah.
their tail, and
right.
poking them in the face,
yeah.
and
there
and
are
hugging.
Some dogs with little. They should have angel wings on. You
oh,
know,
yeah.
And they will put up with everything. And God bless them. You know, but don't count on your dog being that way, and don't ask him to put up with
endless
provocation.
I would treat the kid probably like that. It's like, hey, do you like that? Stop.
You have a point there.
And they don't. Dogs don't like hugs.
Yeah, they really don't. They'll give a sort of a pained look, but generally they don't like it.
That's why my dogs, if they like you, they just lean into
yeah.
you.
That's their hug. Yeah, the lean. breed-specific bans have failed to reduce dog bites. Where's my camera?
Yours.
Oh, I'm there.
Yeah.
Hello. I can't figure out which camera those. All right, anyway, breed-specific bans haven't worked. They haven't reduced dog bites. In Italy, they took it as far as they could. And they ended up banning 90 different dogs before they had to finally give up. It just does not work. It is the individual dog. It is the individual owner.
Right.
Okay. Some dogs, like you say, they're kind of seem not to be apt to bite so much, but all dogs can bite. Neutering dogs particularly helps them from getting in fights with other dogs. There are some differences with owners of dogs who have a high-risk reputation. I'm not saying they're high-risk dogs.
Right. It's that person may be insecure with their manhood or...
They may feel afraid of...
I got to have the guard dog. I got to have this big, rough, tough-looking dog to intimidate my friends or the people down the block.
Yeah. And dogs pick up on kind of what's expected of them.
Right.
And so there's a smaller group. I know people who have pit bulls, and they are very happy with how loving their animals are, how good they are with kids. And there's a veterinarian vet behaviorist, Ian Dunbar, who said that these are really good dogs with kids when they're properly socialized because they have pretty high pain tolerance, and they really are very patient with kids.
Yeah, I read a list where it was like the top 10 most affectionate dogs, and Pitbull was on there.
Yeah. On the other hand, the dogs who inflict the most severe bites, in the end, when they do bite, pits are up there.
Right.
As any dog with a large jaw, powerful jaw.
Right.
You know, German Shepherd dogs also can be up there with how severe their bites can be. Some owners who gravitate, and I'm not saying everybody at all, it's a minority, but some owners who gravitate to dogs with high-risk reputations are people who have attitudes. They like aggression. They have a history of criminal convictions and behavior. They're, you know, more impulsive. They're more anxious, irritable people. They're kind of making a lot of excuses for behavior. They're not as sociable as other people. They're more accepting of animal maltreatment. They're less likely to take their puppies to puppy socialization. They're more likely to use physical punishment with their dogs, even though they may spend time, they like their dogs. They spend time playing with them, but their orientation is punishment. And for about 20% of dogs, people who emphasize a punishment, infliction of pain approach are going to elicit aggressive behavior in about 25% of dogs. Mm-hmm. Dogs
again, they'll mirror that in some way.
Yeah, and that's their life. You know, is they know what's coming is, and about 25% of dogs will kind of stand up for themselves, mm-hmm. even though you know they we've bred that out of dogs to a large degree because dogs that do stand up for themselves end up getting euthanized in the end. What to look for? We were talking about this before. Dogs signal when they're stressed. They may look away. They may sniff the grass. They may
pant and drool.
They will lick their lips. You know, that kind of business is actually a slight little nervous gesture on the dog. When they are getting tense, they will right before they nip, they'll freeze. Their bodies will become stiffer. They'll stand taller. There's fear aggression, and then there is kind of fear aggression. Well, we'll get into the kinds of aggression, but some dogs are trying to back away.
And they're backed into a corner,
backed
and I don't have anywhere
corner.
To go.
Yeah.
And that's their last resort.
Right, right. And there was a well-known trainer who was a golden?
I think it was some sort of retriever.
Retriever. The dog was having some biting issues. Anyway.
I think it was food guarding.
Food guarding? Okay. And anyway, got close to the dog, kept getting closer and closer, and the dog was showing every possible kind of stress signal that it possibly could, trying every way it could, and when it finally couldn't get away, you know, then it gave a nip. And then this guy said, well, he didn't see that coming. Well, everybody else did.
Right.
That was just completely blind to that dog's signals. Anyway, if and then there are other dogs who are there's some of the just trying to get away from you and they'll nip. Other dogs who have decided they're fearful, but they've decided their best way is to approach and back you off. But their goal is to get away. It's not to is to increase the distance. They want you to back away.
Right. One of my guys is very shy, and he just stays on the couch. He'll go to the other room or be on the floor.
Yeah, they're individuals. Yeah. Now, if there's a sudden change in your behavior, the dog has never been aggressive before, and now it seems to be. Take your dog to the vet. It may have a thyroid condition. It may be in pain.
Right.
It may have
injured.
Injured. Maybe developing diabetes
and,
or something like that. Maybe have a growth that's putting pressure on its spine
right.
or something.
And if you see a dog that's been hit on the road, be careful going up to it. You know, it's in pain.
Yeah.
It might bite you.
Yeah, and don't be very careful and avoid breaking up dog fights because there's a very good chance that you're going to get bitten.
There's lots of mouths and teeth going around. Let me stick my hand right in.
It's like walking into the middle of a bar fight. Someone's fist is likely to end up on your chin.
And they like to bite around the neck.
Yeah,
and get a hold of that.
Yeah.
But
and
one
so
of
if
better
it,
ways
if it,
to. I had a little problem with my puppy in the last few months. And she would get a hold of one of the dogs. The best thing I think you can do is get a hold of the collar. Pull straight up. Don't pull them back or anything. Pull straight up, and it chokes a little bit, and they release better.
Yeah, if you know your dogs. Actually, there's some YouTubes on how to break up dog fights, and there's a technique to it.
Mm-hmm.
And don't do it kind of flying by the seat of your pants.
Look some
of that stuff up. Different types of aggression that we have. There's territorial aggression. There's protective aggression. The dog's protecting its family.
A favorite family member.
That's a type of guarding. Actually, possessive aggression, which is what we're talking about there. Fear aggression if they're cornered or trapped. Defensive aggression. Social aggression, and that can be kind of status related. It's sort of like that dog has decided it's sort of making all the rules. And with that, you put the dog on a learn-to-earn program. It's like, you know, you will eat when you do what I've asked you to do. You don't have to hit the dog.
It's a simple thing.
You know,
some of my dogs, I say, okay, I'll put the food down, everybody sit, and you'll wait for like 5-10 seconds until I say go get it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and leadership, guidance, calm, education, showing dogs how to succeed. We have frustration-related elicited aggression, or the dog's frustrated about something, just like any of us. We can be snappy when we're frustrated. Redirected aggression is a subset of frustration aggression. Pain-elicited aggression and sexual behavior-related aggression. The last is predatory aggression. Predatory aggression is simply
is that where my dogs
getting,
found a rabbit in the yard?
Getting
and killed
food.
It?
Yeah, they're not mad. They're not upset. They don't have a grudge. They want to eat.
I'm being a dog.
Yeah, they're just treating it, you know. So, what do you do if you're getting a new dog from a known source, a puppy, and it's a breeder? See that the parents are friendly and behaviorally stable. Keep that puppy with their litter mates until they're at least 8 weeks of age. That way they learn bite inhibition with the other puppies.
Biting and biting.
Oh, that's what
useful.
They do all the time, yeah. And they one of them goes too far, and they nip and yip, and they learn to do that. Take them to puppy socialization classes so they get used to people of all kinds of different experiences. Pay attention to their stress signals. Use success and reward teaching methods. Get them comfortable with body handling. Get them comfortable with people approaching their food by them, feed them out of their hand, feed them their food. Have them wait till they get their food. Have them learn that when you're approaching food, their food bowl, you're going to put more food in, or if you take it up, you're going to put it back down, so they're comfortable with that. Teach them dropping things pays off, so you teach them take it, drop it, instead of grab and get upset that they're going to lose it.
Yeah, one of the things I do is nothing in life is for free, which is...
Yeah, have them earn. That's
right.
Normal for dogs. That's leadership. Supervise all young children. Teach them how to gently toss treats. Children usually aren't able to train dogs until they're 10 or so, and then only with adult guidance. So you might want to teach children toss games and things like that, but again, it's under adult supervision. Give dogs a place to go where they can get away from the commotion. They have safety, a place to go where they can retreat. If you're getting a new but older dog, have children coming into your home, make sure the dog has no history of aggression. That's just a road you really don't want to go down. Have a trained person, if possible, help you pick out a suitable dog from a shelter.
Right.
As in, you work at shelters, and I have volunteered at shelters, too. I want to get back to that. And find out as much as you can about that dog. Has that dog been assessed for how they respond to other people, new people, body handling?
Yeah, it's not
20
bad.
Seconds? 2 minutes?
Yeah.
20 seconds. Okay.
It's
body
not
handling.
Bad to save, you know, let the more aggressive dog sit in the shelter. I'm sorry, but...
Yeah, or let someone who's able to handle them take them. Involve your children. Give your dog plenty of physical and mental exercise. 4, 3, 2, 1. Thank you for watching.